than stability.
And total tranquility.
I'm building off your energy.
You listen to the inner me.
You're my peace, not my enemy.
My lover and my friend indeed.
Together we will grow the seed growing for orgasmic energy. And we're back. Back again.
He can't even catch his breath. Coming to the episode later.
Hey, shout out to Yusuf. We're going to just shout out to Yusuf, man. I would no longer call you Yoshi. I would not disrespect you like that, brother. I have just been privy to the info. I won't call you Yoshi no more, man. You Yusuf, man. You Yusuf. We'll talk about that when I see you.
But this side of him, not me.
What's up, world? How y'all doing? Welcome to another episode of Orgasmic Vibes. I am Grant Michaels.
And I'm Queen Shay. And clearly, he's doing great. It's a good mood.
Oh, man. I'm going to go play Super Mario Brothers with Tut when I get home. I'll just say that. But hey, world. How y'all doing? How you doing, Queen?
I'm doing good.
It's weather changing. I know you're doing good.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, getting a little heat going on, and I know you extra excited about that.
Right, right. Lost some sleep. Time changing, weather changing, but it's all good.
I thought that through. Like, I was like, okay, we'll go to early service on Sunday. You know, we bought our Father's business. You know, we play around, but we bought our Father's business. So I was like, yeah, we'll go to 8 o'clock service on Sunday, and then whatever. Man, I didn't think that through with the daylight savings. Losing an hour, because it was fight night last night. Shout out to UFC 299. It did not disappoint. So by the time I get into bed and then lose an extra hour of sleep, oh, I don't think I thought that. My planning wasn't on point for that one.
I thought about it, but I left you alone.
You sure did. You was well asleep when I got home.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to jump in. You know, we've been talking about a variety of things in the 2024 series, and we need to bring it back. You know, we started out more so going in on what is love and want to jump back to that. You know, we've established in a couple episodes, you know, our different takes on what is love, but people always need to think about, how do you keep the love? Mm-hmm. You can know what love is. You can be aware, but it's just keeping that connection. And that's what we want to explore, you know, deepening the connection. So not just keeping it, but keep taking it to the next level and the next level and the next level. Mm-hmm. There's progression in everything in life, or there should be. Mm-hmm. And if there's not, tend to run into a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's your take on keeping the love? Do you feel like people go into relationships considering that, hey, this is something I need to not only maintain, but I need to make better? Or do you think people more so are just in the moment and they don't have foresight to think about the work and the time that comes into keeping the connection and keeping the love strong?
I think as life gets going, and we touched on this, the relationship we had 10 years ago compared to now, you know, we were both two single people coming into us. It was, at that point we had learned each other and then we got married. But like you said, it's a progression. No one should remain stagnant of who they are and who they're delivering. So by the time you learn somebody, it should be, that person should have grown and adapted to the new situation. So the learning and growing of a person, I feel like, is a continuing process. So how do you keep the love connection going with the growth that's established or the growth that's happening? Because what sustained love in the beginning 10 years ago possibly may not be enough now, or in year 5 or in year 7 and so forth and so forth. So is that what you're asking?
Right.
Okay. Make sure I'm following.
And also, I think sometimes love can be trendy. So, you know, you see everybody around you being in love, and you're like, oh, I want that. Let me go find that. I want a piece of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find it because a lot of people can love you, or there's different facets to love. And so you could be dating someone, and in that moment, they're fulfilling the type of love that you're looking for, because you may be looking for like the trendy, the feel goods. Like, I want, you know, the new conversation. I want somebody to go out with. I want somebody to have fun with. And so because your current mind is wanting that, it's easy for somebody to fulfill it and for you to be satisfied with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, with that being said, how did you, and I want you to ask me the same, and I'll obviously give my answer, but how did you, or what did you do to deepen your connection, or how did you deepen your connection? So it's not trendy and it's not a stagnant relationship. What are some things you did to take you from Shayna Latrice Jr.?
Did you just tell these people Shay. My whole name?
No, I didn't. I just told them your government.
I work hard to get to know you, and not just to get to know the good of you, because the good is usually on the surface. So, you know, like, oh, he's a nice guy. You know, he's caring. You know, you see the good attributes, but getting to know the other side of you, like, oh, what are the things that kind of make him tick? Like, what are the things he doesn't like? Like, what are, you know, things that may bother him? Where are his challenges? So I work to get to know the other facets of you, so that when I was loving you, I could hit those areas. Like, if I knew, okay, maybe this is a struggle area, then that's a way of loving you. How can I help him be better in this area, or feel better about this, or learning to do this better, or making him feel more assurance, if you will, in those areas? So getting to know the more challenging parts of you, I was willing to do that without feeling a way, you know, about whatever those things were.
My follow-up question to that is, did it feel like, was it uncomfortable? I'm sure it was. Did it feel like you were losing a part of yourself to gain that additional of me? Or did it feel as if you had to just bend over backwards, so like certain people say, to appease that? Or what was your experience with that? And then obviously I'm going to answer on your end.
No, I didn't feel like I lost anything. I felt like I gained an understanding, because the more you understand someone, I feel like it's easier to move in the same space with them. So understanding you better helped me to just see also that everybody's different. So it helped me understand, well, how am I in these different areas, or to want to be better at things. If I learn like certain qualities about you, I'm like, wow, like, do I have that? Like, have an introspective look at myself. So I don't think I lost anything, or I didn't feel away. But I wanted those things. So I didn't just want the surface you, because eventually the surface you, I don't want to say it's going to go away, but more is going to come out. So you want to be prepared for some of those things, or to have an understanding of the more intricate parts of you. Because I think when you're first dating someone, you do want to present, you know, the best version of yourself. But is that realistic? That's not realistic. Like, that's just not how things are gonna go. So when things do happen, if you do have a better understanding of that person, it's easier to navigate and figure out, okay, how are we gonna get on the other side of this? If I know X, Y, and Z, if this bothers him, and if he's, you know, annoyed by certain things, let's say you get into an argument, then you can move a little different. Like, you know, because we definitely had that conversation earlier when we were dating, like, do you argue in a, you know, how do you argue? How do you handle like disagreements? And people don't do that. And because they don't ask those questions, now when it happens, you got two people that doesn't even know how the other person operates in the element, because they never talked about it. And now you're thrown into that fire, and that's hard, because it could go real bad, or you can come out of it. But if I already know certain things about you, then there's some level of consideration going into that, because that's still love.
All right, in another follow-up to that, did you feel as if at any point nothing was being reciprocated, or did you feel like you were doing anything in vain? And well, before I even get there, what's the time frame of this process? And then did you feel like at any point you were wasting time? Why are you doing this? It was in vain. Like what was the outcome, so to speak? And the time first, the time frame of the learning and observing and whatnot, and then what was your outcome? Or how did you come to your resolution?
I would say in the first 2 years, there was a lot of learning. First 6 months, I feel like you can't count. Like, you can find out stuff. But first 6 months is you kind of skating along in the first 6 months. But at no point did I feel like, oh, this is too much. But I am the person that I do like a good challenge. Like, so you were more challenging to me, but that was an attribute. To some people, that's not an attribute. If they're used to something easygoing, and then if they have somebody who has a little more personality, you know, I don't know, maybe they don't like that, but I was up for it. Like, okay, this is different. This is good. Completely opposite of myself, but I don't like anyone in that kind of sense to be just like me. Mm-hmm. So I was intrigued.
Okay.
I think I always was intrigued by, like, oh, I didn't know that about him. Or, oh, say 2 years in. 2 years in will make you look back to 8 months in, but you have more clarity. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, this is a ride, like a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you coast a little bit in the beginning. You get on the roller coaster, you chill. Y'all still laughing, having fun. You know, you're a little nervous, but you're not that nervous. Then you might have a little dip. You know, that's you encountering something like, okay, made my stomach drop. That was a little bit, but I'm still all right. You're cruising on. You go down. You run into something else. And then a big flip. So maybe, you know, by 2 years in, it's like, woo, that was a lot. That was a lot. But now, like, what happens after the flip? Now you back coasting again. Like, okay, I made it through the first little one. You know, and a roller coaster is progressive.
Oh, man. You know.
Did you see the visual? Did I paint the picture?
I did, Joe. And I'm going to paint it for you right now. First, you had to climb them stairs first, you had to be the correct height to ride this ride. You know, you had to meet the inch requirements. Then, upon waiting in line, your turn.
Waiting in line? There was a line.
you had the your tickets ready. And then you board this long ride that slowly takes you up to the mountaintop. You can hear it cha-chunk, ka-clunk, ka-clunk, ka-clunk as you get to the peak.
Wait, this like a State Fair ride or like Six Flags?
Disney, Animal Kingdom, girl, that's Mount
Oh,
Everest.
This the one in New Jersey. Like, this is the big one.
Anywho, but yeah, all right. But,
I mean, I had never had that thought until you asked me that question. And then I thought of a roller coaster because I think that's a true depiction of it's a lot of turns, it's a lot of loops, because the roller coaster is ever changing, just like a person. Like, if it just went straight, just like a kiddie ride. So when you think about a kiddie ride, they don't want to scare a child because a child can't handle that, but we aren't children.
You got to have that adrenaline pumping, the hint of fear, the possibility of, am I safe? The thought of, am I safe? Even though you are, but that, you know. But anyway, yeah, I like that. Was a
right.
Darn
and then,
good analogy. Darn good analogy.
If you think of it like the years, am I going to get back on this ride? Do I want admission again?
Like, you stuck on this ride. Your lap belt don't come off. And if it do, the owner of the ride gets alimony.
Basically, I got a fast pass. Like, I need to stay at the front of the line. Mm.
See, fast pass lets you skip the line. This is more so the park has been rented out for you.
Right.
And you have the permanent. And there was one key and it was given to you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I need a wrist pass.
You don't need none of that. It's your park. You're the only one in the park. You're the only one in the park. But anyway, all right.
That's how I feel about it. To switch it back. Mm-hmm. What about you? Because like I said, you know, we have a lot in common, but we are very different. So I'm sure I brought my own set of challenges, but from my end, my challenges are different.
Well, before we even get to the challenges, like how did I, because that's a part of it. How did I deepen my connection with you? How did right. I deepen? First and foremost, like you said, we had those. Well, let me start from the beginning. I listen when people talk. You heard me say it before. Women have been complaining about certain things. I used to hang with a group of lesbians in college. Shout out to y'all. So I learned a lot about women from women. So when I got into a serious relationship that I knew I wanted to give my all into, tried to apply the knowledge learned. So I tried not to ever do anything to you that Mary J. Blige has sung about. or Keisha Cole. Or Tamar, or any of them women you listen to, you know, I try not to have any of those situations in our relationship, first and foremost, or any woman that had a complaint or a gripe that I knew about, which took me learning you. And I was very observant and learning how you moved, how you interacted, but from you being the smarter one, let's say that, from those questions, you brought the uncomfortable to the front line. And when you're uncomfortable, you're going to either fight or flight, you know? And being uncomfortable with us gave me, first showed me that she's not afraid. She's not fake. She's not going to just give you a nice decorated cake and it has no substance and no taste. Nah, you going to take your time, make sure everything is how it's supposed to be before you even let me get the first slice. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be exactly how it needs to be. And I admired that. And I fell in love with that. And you weren't easy in regards to things that I may have done in previous relationships. Let's say I did something similar, something small. I'm not even going to give an example, but something small. But it may have worked in every relationship I may have been in. You ain't want no parts of that. Not that you knew I may have done it before, but it was just things that I may have done outside of bringing you flowers, because you'll accept flowers any day of the week. But certain things you ain't. So it made me step my game up. It made me think outside the box. It made me learn you to love you, and it made me cater my love to you. You know, I couldn't bring a previous experience directly to you. Nah, like the way you are, from the way you eat to how you dress to what I need to buy you, to your size at the time, to the smallest detail had to be thought about for all my right. Shay Shay, which in tune was preparing me to think of every detail for my family, for my children. You know what I'm saying? So that was the first thing. You know, I had to first learn you to get to know how to love you. You know, like y'all heard me say before, the previous Joker was an NFL player. So I couldn't just come to just any kind of way. Like, all right, let me show her who Granny is, you know. Let me show her who Mike and Linda's son really is and what I've learned. And so that was the first thing. I just, to expose you to new, but to expose you to new took me to get uncomfortable. A lot of people don't like being uncomfortable, you know. And in uncomfortable, like I say, is fight or flight. Either you're going to run from it or you're going to stay there and fight. And everything you did and how you did it showed me there was something worth fighting for. All right, so let's stay there. That's the first one. How we handled adversity. The simple fact that we both had a conversation like, look, I don't like to argue. You know, we may have a disagreement, that's fine, but can we as two adults sit there and talk about it? Because if I get mad, I can go way off the left deep end. You was like, yeah, I can go off the deep end too. So having that conversation up front, like, yeah, let's keep it respectful and handle every situation like adults. So that was playing right into my wheelhouse. You know what I'm saying? So now that was in years 1 through 3. Mm-hmm. So I was learning that person. All right, boom. Now years into year 3, I had to learn a person who had experience being a wife, had experience now being a new mom, having experience somewhat of promotions on jobs. So now your responsibilities have increased in every fathom of your life. So the person that I had learned to love was technically not there anymore. So now I got to learn how to adapt to this new person with new responsibilities in every fathom of her life. As soon as you learn that, you get change new again. Situations. So what am I saying? I continuously have to adapt my depth of love to match the queen that's in front of me. Because the queen that's in front of me now isn't the same princess that was in front of me yesteryear. So just, and knowing that now, especially, well, I was introduced to the thought maybe 5-6 years ago, but just knowing that prepares me to know that there's a change that's going to occur at some point. I'm actually excited about this menopause stage that come next. I'm going to get to have the air conditioner on high
I'm
all the time.
I'm glad this is recorded.
I am. I get to have the air conditioner on high all the time. You always going to be hot?
I don't think you know, like, from well, what I hear,
I did not hear you going to be on. Ooh, I heard you going to have some sexual cravings. Like I say, I'm here for this menopause stage. It's just going to be several it's areas of growth that I know. But that's life. And the fact that how we both know that there's a progression of changes and we both prepare for it. It's exciting. It keeps it adventurous.
It does. And then, like, doing things that are more challenging. And from your standpoint, like, when we first met, you would tell me all the stories, all the places you've been, your different experiences. And so in my head, I'm like, okay, he's not easily impressed. So out the gate, I'm like, okay, let me come with it. Like, you know, I like this. Anytime there are certain smiles that you have, there's certain reactions that you have to different things. And so that let me know when I'm like matching your growth as well. Because you can kind of tell when things get stagnant. If people are being real, you can start to feel it in both people. You know, they start to feel it. And like you said, like, but as you go through things, the adversity, being uncomfortable, it just puts you in a different space too. And so that'll shake it up. That shakes it up. But you have to remain focused on what you want. And what we want is not just a successful marriage, but figuring out, like, to be happy and to be happy as individuals, then to be happy as a couple.
Man, you hit the nail on the head as usual. What we just explained is how we, well, what I just explained is how I deepened my love over these last years with the person that was growing and adapting in front of me. But what's the motivation? And the motivation is the goals that we have set forth. Where we said we're going, the accomplishments that we're trying to achieve in this lifetime, and it not keeping our eye on the prize, you know, that gives you the fortitude to continue to move forward. It makes problems minute. Right. You know, like, if you know for a fact, hey, I'm trying to build this car, and you're like, oh, they sent me the wrong screws, you ain't gonna stop the whole project just because you got the wrong screws. You're gonna correct the problem so you can continue on,
and then you keep building.
Right. So that's why certain problems ain't even problems. I've said it before, adversity ain't even adversity to us, because every time was met with something, the other side was that much sweeter, that much brighter and better. So I just know if something's awry, and like I said, you know we keep God at the head of everything we do. So I just know now the uncomfortable means either God's preparing to move us, God's preparing us for something greater, or we're in the wrong spot, or we need to have motion.
Right.
So I just know, all right, boom, this is happening now. All right, this ain't stopping us from doing A, B, and C. It's just another bump on the road.
And also, like, with that, you have a shift in attitude. We both work to always have an attitude of gratefulness. And when you have been through things, then you handle things different. And like you said, it's not as big. Not that things don't bother us, but I feel like for us, we've been through some really bad stuff. So when the minor stuff happened, I'm not really about to lose no sleep over it, because you can easily remind yourself of, we've been through worse. We've been through worse.
I'm for real.
This is not that serious. Like, no, I don't know how we're going to figure it out, but we'll figure it out. And you just have an attitude of just being grateful that, guess what? This situation could be way worse because we've seen way worse. I just told someone about their own situations recently about that as well. But all of that rolls back to some of the key things, like, you know, doing different things to make sure we're strengthening our relationship and staying connected and being intentional, and also our level of communication. Like, you know, with our level of communication, like, I've seen people communicate and, you know, it's not even ego in it, but I feel like the way we communicate with each other is like next level.
Mm-hmm. Now, in addition to that, from the communication and the work that we put in, I'm about to give you a couple examples of real growth. And you have to acknowledge the growth that you have with your spouse. Publicly speak it and talk about it with each other so you can keep each hold each other accountable. Year one, when we built our first house, you know, excited. Okay, after the excitement like runs out or whatever, now life begins. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're doing little projects in the house. The two of us couldn't even hang a picture together.
Right.
At one point. You know, I'm talking about hang a picture on a wall. We couldn't do that together. Why? Because of her method of doing ways, my method of doing ways. Mm-hmm. So you're looking at two people who couldn't hang a picture on a wall together without being completely frustrated with each other, to someone who now owns businesses and whatnot together. Mm-hmm. And have projects together. So I'm saying that to say this, you need to figure out how to coexist completely and with your spouse. And I mean, in the good times, in the bad times, when you don't feel like being all lovey-dovey and still show your love, display your affection. And we started out with small projects, cooking together, something we did together.
Right.
We always plan things together. And planning a trip is a double-edged sword. Because A, you get the excitement of the trip, but we know we're working towards something. Something as small as, she remember you used to have a little jar and be like, all right, this the, or a fold, an envelope or something. This is the envelope for such and such. We need to have,
what, right,
$2,000 in this one before we, or this will be our spending money or blah, blah, blah. Being diligent, communicating, working together, having an end goal, and then seeing it through to fruition.
Almost like with a vision board. We talked about that before. You really need a vision board for your marriage. And maybe that's even a great exercise. Like, because you can look at, okay, what did we used to do? Mm-hmm. Like, our thing used to always be when we were single, well, dating. And then even before we had kids, going out to eat. Mm-hmm. But then after a while, you realize, oh, we kind of been to all these places. Like, mm-hmm. And it's the same old, same old. You see older people and they're like, oh, this is our place. We don't really have that because I really don't want to have a place. I want to be able to say, oh, you remember we used to love going to this place? Now we like to do this. So like you're saying with the trips, like we work to elevate what we're doing together. You know, like our last trip, like the premise of the trip was to do days worth of things that we had never done.
Right.
So we're not looking to be comfortable. We're not looking to have the same experience over and over. We can go to the same place, but it will feel like it's the first time each time because we don't work to just do the same things just because it's the same place. And so I think that's just the attitude we have on our marriage. Yes, this is the same marriage. Yes, it's the same place. But what's the different, you know, turns that you can take to make it different, make it feel new, feel on a deeper connection is the attitude that we have.
Attitude of gratitude, man. That's the name of the game. Showing appreciation and moving towards correction. So we just wanted to touch in on a couple direct connections we use to deepen our love for one another. But it started with projects. It started with communication and learning each other and letting it grow and develop into something else.
And you know, just don't be afraid of what you're going to run into, because you're going to run into stuff and it's going to happen. So just embrace it and move forward.
So quick either or neither. Quickie the neither. At this stage of our marriage, if you had a time machine and could go back, would you like to take all the knowledge gained over these last 14 years of knowing each other, going on 11 years of marriage, and start over with it, not knowing the outcome, or leave things directly as they are and have learned it along the way as you did? Basically, would you want to cheat sheet or retake the test and keep the same grade?
I just want to do it again. Like, it's for the experience, because that's not that fun. Like, oh, I got all the answers, I'm gonna get an A. I mean, that's like the easy cop out. So I still would rather just go through it, feel it. What about you?
Let me get all this knowledge and go back. I'd have saved myself 5 years of trying to figure out the light skinness. You know what I'm saying?
You know what? I'm glad it's the end of this episode. No, we're going to have a whole episode about it.
All jokes aside, I would, because don't get me wrong, if I got a shortcut to happiness and then we get to get straight to it, oh, man. Yeah, not knowing that this woman going to better me, this woman going to take me to make this $1 into a $10 bill, and yeah, I take the cheat sheet.
I won't.
Well, this wraps up another episode of Voyagasmic Vibes. I am Grant Michaels.
And I'm Queen Shay. We vibing out.
Peace.